Things going on. We've got Brother James and Miss Becca. They have a contract on their house, and when they pass a certain period here, they'll have a home already in mind to pick up. And Courtney and Andrew also have a contract on a home and be looking to sell their home. And then Brother Gary and Miss Tony are still trying to sell their house, so pray for them. They'll be able to sell their house in good order. Well, we're going to have a busy weekend coming up. Brother Nick and Leah and the kids will all be here on Friday. Brother Ben, Liz, and all their kids will be here on Saturday. Brother Colt, Ms. Shalise, and their kids will be here Sunday night late. And they're coming in to spend some time with them. We'll have a zoo day on Monday with all the little ones. And I'm glad a lot of them are two and below. We're going to get a lot of free passes into the zoo. I'm glad for that. And then they'll be here, and then we'll have, I think there's supposed to be a little birthday gathering for little Wade. Wade's turning three on Monday. Monday's not Monday, but the birthday party's on Monday. So he's sneaking in. He's still just two. He's sneaking in under the wire, you know. So it's the last time he gets to go to the zoo for free. And the rest of the time, pay up, buddy, pay up, you know. So we're looking forward to that. And it'll be a good time with those guys. Brother Garrett and Lauren are supposed to be able to come over and go to the zoo. So it'd be almost like a little bit of a family reunion for some of those guys. And they still have good communication, you know, between them. And they're just going on realizing they're in the investment business, and they have been invested. They have been invested, and we're looking forward to just spending some time with them. Sunday morning in Sunday school, all the adults will be back in here in the auditorium sanctuary. Brother Ben's going to be bringing a lesson, and he's going to be giving a kind of report how things have been going there at the church there in Noonan, Georgia. And then Brother Nick used to be swoopy hairdo, you know. Years ago, he'll be preaching Sunday morning and then talking more about the ministry and all, what's going on there Sunday night. And Sunday morning, I'll do the wrap-up with the Faith Promise Challenge. So if you would, be ready for that, and we'll have a good time together in the Lord. Amen. Looking forward to it. Take your Bible, go back to Joshua. I want to share a couple of few things here with you tonight. And appreciate Brother Lyons here with us, and look forward to meeting his wife. Next, I told him, next time, don't fly in so fast and fly out so fast. Spend a little bit more time with us. But we'll get a chance. He's only about, it's really just about halfway, or a little bit less than halfway on raising his support. So he'll be back around. He's already been in a couple of sister churches that I know of in the Dallas-Fort Worth region. So we'll sure to be able to see them again. I want to talk to you a little bit about the team. And no church can operate without a team concept. Everybody has to be playing together as a good team. And according to the Word of God, it identifies a team, but it does identify as a body. And we are identified as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Joshua here has been called to lead the people of God. Now, he's talking about the whole of the nation. Of course, that's unique and different than what we're engaged in, but there's a lot of parallels here. Now, Joshua, you'll recall, he's one of the two spies that said, yes, we can, yes, we can. And that brings us to courage, as we're going to get there in just a little while. Now, you can say Joshua was a go-getter, and he was. And the world would not be what it is today without the minority of go-getters. It is not the majority. It is minority. And that minority is a very small minority of go-getters, and they are the ones that keep the ball rolling down the field in this world. Now, the go-getters, and Joshua certainly one of those. Yes, we can, let's go in and take him. But go-getters do have problems, and they do have privileges. First thing I want you just to recall here before we get into the nuts and bolts of this is God, of course, gave Joshua the charge. Go over this flooded Jordan. Now, don't go over the Jordan. Go over the flooded Jordan. So you already are faced with major obstacles. Go over this flooded Jordan and take what I am giving you and the people. Go take what I'm giving you. Not too long ago, I was talking to one of these younger guys that we were looking at, and we're talking about fruit and that you need to be anticipating God's fruit. In other words, don't be snake bit. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't go around poor mouthing yourself. I can't do anything, and it's going to be so hard, and just can't get anything done for the Lord, and blah, 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 blah. Well, you already shot yourself in the foot, and you haven't even opened the door. And so you don't have to have somebody else curse you. You can curse yourself. And so we don't want to do that. So God gave him a charge, and go take what I'm giving you. And a letter, or number two, God gave him, of course, the promise. If you will do what I tell you to do, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And then, of course, number three, the condition. Look at verse 7. Only be, that's the condition, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now you will notice, be strong and very courageous. And that's the admonition for Joshua to be the type of leader that God wanted him to be. It wasn't necessarily a matter of a title. It was a matter of courage and leadership. And people don't follow titles. They will follow courage. All right? And that's just one fun fact to know and tell. Now, as long as Joshua here then, of course, obeyed what God told him to do, as taught by the servant leader Moses, and don't turn to the right hand nor to the left hand, you keep it right down the middle, buddy, and as long as you do that, I promise I will bless you and I will give you great success. And then, of course, lastly, he gave him provision to carry out the Lord's command when he said in verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So the provision is the presence of Almighty God. And that's what gives you the courage to get up another day and get back in the fight. Now, we also know these things are given to us in the Lord's service in the church. We have the charge, go ye. We have the promise, no one can stand against you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We also have the condition, as long as we are co-laborers with the Lord Jesus Christ, which Brother Stephen pointed out just the other day, he will never let up and let us down from his end. We can let him down, but he will never let us down. And then we have the same comfort and assurance the Lord will never leave us nor forsaken this. Now, with this under our belt, let's look at here and moving on in through chapter 1. Look at verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Let's stop there long enough. We have a structure in our church. And structure has officers in it, and structure has teachers in it. And officers and teachers should be leading the way, not just hum-hum. All right? They should be leading the way with the pastor. Now, he commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, so we're not in the business of mild suggestions, we're in the business of the commands of God. Prepare ye victuals, or somebody says victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So in other words, everybody get ready, it's about time to go, all right? Let's go get what God has promised us, if we'll do our part. Then in verse 12, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the Lord, the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying. So nothing new, not a new word, right? We don't have a new word for each generation. Excuse me. All right. The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Same word, same lesson, same admonition. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession. You can come back and enjoy it. God wants you to enjoy his blessings, right? Right. Which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side, Jordan, toward the sun rising. Now, Moses is God's extended hand, so really it's God blessing and giving them these blessings. All blessings, of course, come from God. Now, what I want you to see here is important of staying together in the efforts if we want to achieve much. Now, if we want to throw in the towel and we don't want to achieve much, we don't have to stick together. But if we want to achieve much for the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to stick together. We have to stick together to get the job done. Now, if Satan could have done his work, he would have gotten Israel fractured here, and a divided army is easy to destroy. It's easy to destroy. But we don't want defeat, we want victory. Now, the Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's Psalm 133, verse 1. Matthew 12, 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, we know that as a church and as Israel, they had to stick together. Israel had to stick together to achieve what God would have them to do, and every New Testament church needs to stick together to achieve what God would have them to achieve. So that's why we talk about the ministry team or involvement or commitment. You know, I was thinking about the ham and egg sandwich the other day when Brother Lawrence was talking about it. He's talking about, you know, commitment and importance. I said, well, the, you know, involvement and commitment is taught by the ham and egg sandwich. You know, the chicken is involved, but the pig is committed. And so you have to keep in mind what it actually means to be committed to something. But it's really important that we fulfill our role and do what we need to do. We've had some visitors, and one of the visitors the other week, I had a chance to speak with them. They're members of a sister church out of town, and they're telling me all about the church, and that's a good thing. People should be happy to tell you about their church. That's a good start, right? I mean, that's a good start, and they should do that. And then I asked them this question, well, what is it that you do at your church? Well, all of a sudden they got real quiet. Well, what is it that you, not where you go, what is it that you do at your church? So they had that death pause, you know, like, got me. You know, and I wasn't trying to get anybody. I was just asking the question, what is it that you do? I thought they would certainly be engaged in something. And they said, well, I just attend. Now, you already know, they know what they need to know when they say, I just attend. All right? They're not saying, well, I go to church there. They didn't say, well, I just attend. They already know. They're already on death row, you know. They already know they're guilty before God. You don't have to say anymore. They're preaching their own sermon. And so it was kind of funny, but I wasn't really trying to make a big deal about it. But I did want to ask them, what is it that you do? What do you do there? Well, I'm here to tell you, as probably you already know, you're here on Wednesday night, attendance alone does not win any races. You know, I'm thankful that some of these policies, these philosophies of attendance, rewards, and all of that stuff, I'm hoping some of that stuff will start to kind of pass away. You know, participation trophies, and, you know, you just show up and just participate on the team and you win a trophy simply for just showing up. You could sit on the bench and never play a game and get a trophy in most, you know, public sports and activities and all this day. I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of that. I'm for if you play the game and you win, you get an award. All right? If you win, you get the award. If you don't, you get a run around the lap. You know, when we lost all of our ball games, we didn't get to go get a snow cone after the ball game. We had to run laps. And it gave us a reminder, try harder next time. Right? Try harder next time. You want to win. And I never wanted to lose. I've never wanted these. I remember Colt, you know, he's brought up during his time. And he told his mama one time, and he's this big. He said, Mama, it doesn't matter if we win or lose. We still get treats. We still get treats. Well, that's kind of a problem, isn't it? It really is. So there's kind of been a turn away from some of that. And I'm hopeful there will be even more of a turn away from that. So I'm here to tell you. Just going to a church and attending a church will not win any battles, will not win any wars. Most membership lists are nothing more than a list. They're nothing more than a list. They serve no indication of how many people or who is actually involved in actually what I asked this person, doing something. What are you actually doing for the Lord. I don't think the Lord is impressed by our name being on a piece of paper somewhere. I think he's more impressed and more pleased by us doing something for the Lord. What are we doing? Not hearers only, but doers of the word. Now, I'm convinced he would rather see us and actually engaged in service. In Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works." A lot of people, they seem to stop their Christian life, "created in Christ Jesus, I'm saved." And they would just end it right there. But Christ didn't end it there. "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Unto good works. Good works don't save you, but good works propel the work of God on this place we call a planet. All right? Which the Bible says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So this was God's plan, and if it's not your plan, you need to get in agreement with God's plan and get to work doing something. Right? All right. So there's never been and never shall be any person, no matter what their gifts or talents, that God does not intend that they be engaged with their talents, with their gifts for the Lord. It's completely foreign in Scripture to think that a Christian who loves the Lord and says they love the Lord and sing that they love the Lord, but yet they do nothing for the Lord. So what have we done? What do we do? James 2:26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So Joshua is God's servant leader now. He's come in now as God's appointed man for Israel after Moses. And he says, "All ye able men, no matter where you settle, you are to be a part of the army." Now, it just goes to show you, probably not any trans in this group. All right? So you are to be a part of this army. And then when we win the battles, then you can come back home, settle over here, and enjoy all the things that God has for you over here on this side of Jordan. Amen. That's good. That's a good story. But it's not without first a challenge. And that challenge has to be met by all the people. It's a fact of life and it's a fact of ministry. One writer says that you're either on the building or the wrecking crew. One or the other. You're on the building or the wrecking crew. Now, it doesn't take many in a spiritual sphere, a spiritual group, to cause mayhem. You remember the issue of AI? Okay? Sin in the camp. It doesn't take a whole lot to muck up the deal, you know? I mean, really throw a wrench, a monkey wrench in the whole thing. So you've got to make up your mind that you want to be on the building team. You want to be on the yes, we can team, not the no, we can't team. All right, you've heard it say, you know, kill can't, whoop couldn't until he could. Now, I pity personally the person who thinks that God has called them to sit and to soak, because they will be some of the most miserable people in all the world. The happiest Christians are the Christians who are serving the Lord. They're the people that are singing. They're the people that are giving. They're the people that are going. They're the people that are serving in different roles. They are the happy ones in a church. I guarantee you, they are the happy ones in the church. Brother Don Phillips, matter of fact, I think Brother Rick was right, and I thought the same thing when I got the message from Miss Virginia, where Brother JT was going for a rehab and his treatments is where Brother Don Phillips was there at the end of his life, over there by White Rock Lake. It's over there in that area, old part of town. But Brother Don talked about, you know, how people need to stay engaged in the work. And I'm proud of Brother Don. You know, Brother Don had a lot of medical issues, a lot of them. I mean, he had major heart issues and, well, just there was a lot of health issues that he was having to face. And I remember Miss Barbara time and time again, she tried to establish a coup against Brother Don. She called him Donald. And she said, "I want you to help me get Don to retire, to leave his job." And I said, "You might as well ask him to die." And she, you know, so she didn't like it. She loved me, but she didn't like that part. She wanted me to gang up on old Brother Don. But he says, no, I want to serve God. And he served God on and on and on. I remember he's talking about, you know, it's kind of pathetic. I come up here, I've got bone on bone, and I'm up here limping around and getting up here. And I said, you standing up there on one leg is better than most guys on two. I want you up there just as long as you possibly can stay up there with me, because I want you with me. And I did. And he was moved to continue on to serve the Lord into his aged years. And I just loved it. People say, no, out with the old, in with the new. Well, I don't roll that way. I never have, and I hope I never will. I want people to serve God for as long as they possibly can. As long as you've got breath, I want to see you serving the Lord. I do it, and I don't make apology for that, not one bit. Why should we expect anything less? Now, in national research, there are many things that cause churches to grow, but one of those is a healthy attitude. You have to have a healthy attitude. Now, these missionaries that are coming in, you know, they talk about, well, we're at 35% support, 40% support. The number one reason it takes as long as it does for some missionaries to get to the fields, they don't fill up their calendar. Number one reason. I was in the mission classes and all the seminars that are taught to missionaries. I went through their courses as well. Not my own. I went through theirs. And that's the number one. Matter of fact, it was Brother Brad Hastings that taught that particular class with the material out of New Tribes Missions. And that's some good, solid material. Number one reason they don't get to the field sooner is they don't fill up their schedule. Well, they have to pick up the phone and they have to call out, and then didn't get anybody. Finally, they get a secretary. And the secretary says, how can I help you? He says, well, it's the pastor there. Well, he's busy. How can I help you? Well, I'd like to speak to him. Well, do you have an appointment? No. Well, what is it that you need? Well, see, they run interference for you as your secretary. And by the way, they need to do that. You just get too many calls. You just can't take everything. So, but they finally get through to the pastor, and then finally they have to book, and then they say, can I get into your pulpit and your pocket? That's really what they're asking. I mean, you know, you get right down to it. That's what they're asking. Can I come be a blessing to you? That being interpreted means, can I come preach in your pulpit and get in your church coffers, get in your pockets, all right? Now, there's a way to go about this, and it's not to do an end around of the preacher. Let me just run a quick rabbit right now for your edification, as well as maybe I might loop back and train somebody else to do it. Because if you have somebody come into the church and they start passing out their prayer cards to church members, instead of taking their prayer card, giving it to maybe an usher or a deacon or an officer, something like that, and saying, would you please pass this along to the pastor, let him know that I'm present here tonight, and if he'd like to talk with me, that's fine, you know, I'd be happy to meet him. But when you have a missionary come in and they start handing out their prayer cards and asking you to sign up and won't you do this and do that, that is not what they are taught to do. That's actually an end around of the authority that God has established in a New Testament church. All right, now you stop and think about it and you'll understand it. You don't want somebody coming in. Matter of fact, there's this yo-yo out there in the West, and he has indoctrinated his church people to go all over the United States and do that very thing. And they pass out things and they say, we need you to read this and go online and follow our pastor, and you'll have a better and more complete understanding of the Word of God. And they do the same, follow the exact same methodology, and they go into churches. Matter of fact, Brother Lyons was telling me about a church down in Jacksonville. It had the same thing out there. His name's Anderson. If you know anything about that, Anderson. He's another kook, all right? But they go into churches all over the United States, and they start handing out the stuff to all these church members. Now, I'm just giving you a heads up what you probably should do. Well, thank you so much, and just take it. Or if you would be so bold, you say, you know, probably you need to deal with our pastor first. You probably need to introduce yourself to him. That would help protect your church. I'm just telling you, right, Brother John, you men, that would help protect your church, because there's a lot of foolishness out there, and they should go through the proper channels. Thank you. They should. Now, you know, this is a young guy, and they don't know often. You know, matter of fact, I'll go ahead and tell on him. Brother Seth Cuthbertson, fine man. His beautiful wife was here just the other night. Came in to help Tyler. That's her sister. And Tyler, pray for poor Tyler. But Brother Seth, when he first came, he still had some of this kind of notions, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And he was, before he was ever presented to the church for support, he's trying to get everybody's email address. And, you know, it used to be sign up for the Tape of the Month Club and all that kind of stuff. And every bit of that is taught against in missions, in works, ministry, because it's an end around. It's an end around of the authority God has established for that church. You say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it, because you're not in the ministry. You don't see anything wrong with it. That's just the fact. But it's an end around of the authority that God has established for that church. Now, so when Brother Seth, I pointed it out to him, he had it on his table, you know, all you members signed up and all this. But wait a minute, we haven't agreed that we're going to be a part of your ministry yet. I said, don't you think maybe you ought to wait before you start trying to make disciples out of our church people? Come on. All right. But maybe you ought to run through the proper channels before you ever take such liberties. And he said, I can't believe it. This is Brother Seth Cuthbertson in the Ivory Coast. He said, I can't believe it. He said, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. He said, I had some men actually do that to me over on the mission field. And it made me so mad. And I said, yeah, it normally does. He said, well, you don't seem to be mad. I said, I'm not, but I want you, because he was a good student. He was a learner. He wanted to learn. Bless him. May his tribe increase. And so I said, well, now you know. And he started taking it down off of his table back here. And he says, it's out and it'll never be up in any other church, Pastor. I'll tell you that right now. He said, I can't believe I didn't catch that, because it happened to me and I hated it. It made me so mad that they tried to do that. And I said, well, just a little bit of thinking goes a long ways. It does. It goes a long ways. So somebody comes in. Now, this man that came in recently, passing out his prayer cards, he's not a threat to pretty much anybody in my mind. But maybe I should have said that. But that's a danger. That's a danger. Things need to be done decent, and they need to be done in order. And you think about that, because some of you look at me a little funny about that. You think about that a little bit, and I promise you, you'll come to agree with me about that, all right? And the other preachers that are here. Now, you have to have a good attitude. Missionaries not getting to the field because they don't fill their calendar. How would you like to call up a preacher and say, well, Brother Foster, I've been trying to get in touch with you. I sure am glad I was able to finally get you. You don't want to say that too much, though, right? This is Brother John Flores, and we're going to the country of Chile. And we believe God would have us to go there. And I'd love to be able to come around to your church and talk to you about presenting our work there at your church. How would you like to do that hundreds of times and be told, well, I don't think so. We're really not taking on any new mission works, you know, right now. And you just get a hard no and a soft no, but you get a lot of no. Well, you get 10 of those a day for a while. You might get a little discouraged by getting on the phone. They used to have to go, what was a Watts line? You know what a Watts line is? They used to have to go to the mission office, and they had a Watts line over there, and they could call all they wanted and bill it to the mission office, and it was a lot cheaper. That's back before cell phones and all that other kind of stuff, you know. So they would do that because they had to make so many phone calls and try to get in touch with pastors. And by the way, the best time to get in touch with pastors is on Wednesdays when they're in the church trying to get ready for Wednesday night service. Just fun facts to know and tell. I tell them all the time, you want to catch them, this is when you catch them. But they don't fill up their calendar. Why? Because they get discouraged. Well, you have to have the right attitude. You have to have the ultimate salesman's attitude to things. Every time somebody tells me no, I'm that much closer to my next yes. Because, listen, you can be the biggest nerd in town, and I wouldn't say missionaries are nerds, but some of them very much are. You can be the biggest nerd in town and still go to the mission field because you make enough phone calls. If you have a good attitude and you keep making the phone calls, You get your appointments and you can fill up every single possible date on your calendar. You could be the guy that wears tube socks with a three-piece suit that's about 40 years out of vogue, you know. And you do the work, you have the right attitude, and you'll still raise your support. You can have all the slick presentation in the world, not call, and it'll take you way too long to get to the field. So somebody comes in and they say, well, we've been on deputation now for 3 years, and we've got 25% of our support. Well, 25% of your support in 3 years. So how many years is it going to take you to get to the field? We don't personally, our church, we don't allow that much time to get to the field. Somebody's got to demonstrate they're serious about wanting to get to the field. You're serious about the Lord's business. If not, why should we be serious enough to give you money to be serious about the Lord's business? All right, stay with me now. Okay, stay with me. Now, so you have to have, as a church, you have to, like them, you have to have a good attitude. You have to have a can-do attitude. Long-term goals are achieved by people who have good attitudes. And they'll stay with it no matter what. They'll stay with it. I think you can, I think you can, I think you can. You know those stories. Now, for many times, people stay together in efforts only for a short period of time. But short runners rarely win big church races. It's long term. I found out something that happened just the other day. Yesterday midday, Dory and I were sitting. I was going to pay an electrician, did some work for me out there on the property, and he was saved at Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, years and years ago. Well, we sit down there, and I owed him some money, and we got to talking, and he had some family members that were still, several years ago now, attending First Baptist Church over here in Sachse. Well, I had an interesting phone call from the pastor that led in all of this, and he called me up one day, and he said, Pastor, I just want to introduce myself to you. He says, I actually come from an independent Baptist background, but I joined the Southern Baptist Church because of its superior mission program. I said, really? He said, yeah. And I said, so you think 3 cents on the dollar is a superior program, huh? And he said, well, you know, so I said, would you mind me allowing, you know, kind of challenge you on this a little bit? Where long story short, finally I said, can you name me three Southern Baptist missionaries? Just give me a name of three. And he couldn't. I said, how about one? And he couldn't even tell me one. So I said, you have no idea where your money's going, but you want to lay claim that it's a superior mission program. No thanks. No thanks. But he said he wanted to be a long-term pastor and right here at First Baptist in Sachse. And that's all good. And he said he was a very cordial, good fellow. Well, I found out through this electrician, basically, what in the world happened to First Baptist Sachse? Do any of you know? All right, so this is what happened. They got into a building program, and they got too far extended. And they had all the young people in there, and the young people say, let's go, let's go, let's go, but they don't throw any dough. That's Wednesday night crowd, I'm telling you. Let's go, let's go, that's cool, let's go, let's do this, let's do that. But they don't throw any money into plate. So they kind of run off the older folks, and next thing you know, the go had no dough to get it going. And they lost the whole thing. They were just enhancing the building plant over there. And just enhancing. And they lost the whole thing, had to file bankruptcy, and they lost it all. Now, it's important that you know your people and you know your team. And it's important that you have your finger on the pulse of the team, and you better be playing with the team if you're going to venture much. You better be knowing that you have some can-do people with you. Now, people said years ago when we embarked upon this journey, and I said, I knew that there's no way we could go out here and we could do what we've done here without a lot of good people backing us up. And we couldn't have. We would never have accomplished it. Never have accomplished it. No, not even in part. We'd have miserably failed. So you have to have people. And Joshua had to have people with a great attitude and let's go do it. Let's go do it kind of attitude. Instead of, will it take in 6 years, 7 years? I'll tell you another story. I called up and talked to a missionary, and I said, well, how much support do you have, and how many years now you've been on deputation? And it's like, 3 years and 20% support raised. Well, so I called up the mission office and talked to Brother Tommy Raley, dear friend of ours. And I said, and he said, well, he's a good man. I just think maybe other people present better, and they have a better ratio of churches that they pick up. And I said, well, maybe so. He said, have you talked to his pastor? And I said, no, sir, not yet. He said, won't you call his pastor? He's a good man. It's his father-in-law. And I said, okay. So I talked, got to the phone. I called and talked to his father-in-law. And I said, we've got a little bit of a problem here, preacher, because this seems like he's just going to endlessly be on deputation, because sooner or later, if pastors are just doing a reasonable job, just the tipping at it, more of them are going to start discontinuing his support because of the timeline just going on and on and on. You're going to be in an endless cycle of raising your support. You could be on deputation for 10 years. And it would only be by those who are not paying attention that are still supporting you. And I said, well, does he have a good ratio, going out for each church they go out? The ratio, by the way, is 1-3. So for every 3 churches a missionary goes to, 1 church is going to pick him up, 1 in 3. So the father-in-law, the pastor, asked me, would you talk to my son-in-law? Because he doesn't seem to hear me about this attitude thing. And I said, so you want me to kick your son-in-law in the teeth because you don't want to do it and make your daughter mad at you, right? And he says, well, that's about it. So I said, well, I don't like to do it, but if that's what you're asking me to do, preacher, have boots, will kick. So, I called him up, and this is why I said, where are you? And he said, I'm at home. And this is the missionary. I'm at home. That's the problem, see? You shouldn't be at home. If you've raised 20% of your support in 3 years, you shouldn't be home. You should be beating the bushes. See, right? That's what you'd expect. Beating the bushes. And I said, do you shave yourself every day? Oh, yeah. Do you talk to your wife? Yeah. Do you see your little kiddos? And so I started talking to him about this, and I said, how would you like to be telling your wife, after you've told her all of this time, and all your kiddos, that you're going to be missionary, and this is what you're going to do in the Lord's work, and daddy's no longer going to be a missionary? How would you like that to be your lot, that daddy's not going to the mission field after all? How would you like to tell your kiddos, daddy's not going to do what daddy has told all these preachers and all these Christians all over the country that he's going to do? How would you like to, as you're shaving yourself in the morning, you're shaving your face, look in the mirror to see one of the biggest losers in town? I'm kicking. He starts crying. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just telling you what happened. I said, son, crying won't cut it. You need to get busy. You don't deserve support. But you could if you would reorganize yourself and relaunch. And he said, what would you do? And I said, well, first of all, I think maybe you ought to write all the supporting churches that have been supporting you for over 2-3 years and tell them sorry that you haven't been more diligent about the Lord's work. And ask them to bear with you, and you will submit to them an accountable schedule that shows how many churches you're going into, what those churches were, and who has actually picked you up in support, to demonstrate to them in good faith, I am worthy of your continued support and consideration. Now, he didn't do that. You know how long it took him to get to the field? Over 5.5 years, right at 6 years. I'm surprised that churches continue to support him. I wouldn't have, and our policy wouldn't have allowed us to do so. And frankly, not worthy of support. However, to his credit, he wrote me a letter, and I got that letter. And he said, I just wanted to let you know that my wife and I and my children, we just arrived on the field, the mission field, after all those years. And I wrote him back, and I wrote him a long letter. And I wrote how I was very proud that he persevered, he stayed with it, But the problem is, he didn't have the right attitude from the very beginning. Because you can easily get discouraged and you say, well, where are you? And he says, well, I'm at home. You're not supposed to be at home. You're way, way behind. You're not supposed to be at home. And now you're in grave danger of not being able to achieve what God would have you achieve. And unfortunately, his pastor and his father-in-law was in total agreement with, by the way, every single thing I said. I want you to know, I wasn't, you know, going out of bounds. He asked me to do this. And he says, because he's not listening to me. Well, sometimes people won't listen to one. They need to listen to another. Sometimes kids, rebellious kids, won't listen to their mom and dad. And here comes Uncle Bobby. And Daddy says, hey, Uncle, hey Bobby. Man, I got a wayward one here, and he's not paying much attention. I mean, I've taken the easy road, I've taken the hard road, and he's just stubborn, and he won't listen to anything. And Uncle Bobby says, well, let me give it a shot. He says, I wish you would. Come on in. Come on in. Good to see you. Hi, Betty. How are you doing? You know, come on in. Hey, youngest, how you doing? Boy, you're growing up. Look at those freckles on that girl. And you're cute. Yeah. Okay, here we go. And here's Uncle Bobby, and Bobby's doing the work of God on behalf of his brother, Uncle Bobby, trying to get the son to pick up the pace a little bit, son. It's like, you know, years ago when I was a boy, my dad said, son, I wish you would work a little bit faster. I was digging a ditch, you know, for a grease drain field. You probably don't have any idea what that is. Just about a 4 foot deep ditch, about 18 inches side to side. And it was through sugar sand, not this black gumbo, through sugar sand. And I thought he was a slave driver just making me work so hard. And I was out there and I was just slow, slow, slow. And he said, I wish you'd go faster. And I said, Daddy, if I was getting paid, I could go faster. Well, that was a mistake. And so my dad taught me something about this attitude thing. And so now he gets after me and he really rebukes me. And he says, you know, you need to learn how to rest. You know, there was no rest when we were young. Now all of a sudden, you say, make up your mind. Which is it? You want me to work hard? You know, and he says, I've taught all my kids to work hard, but I hadn't taught any of my kids how to properly rest. And maybe so, I don't know. But I remember one time, matter of fact, this fellow right here, Brother Lyons, young fellow. He asked me, he says, do you know a man up there at Grace Baptist? I said, I sure do. You talking about Ford is his name, Brother Ford. It's his old Georgia boy. And Brother Massey used to be pastor there at Berea Baptist Church years ago, took this church. But Grace Baptist Church was where I was almost born in. I helped build that church. Okay? Now, so he made mention to Brother Ford, and I said, have you been in that building? He said, yes. And I said, well, that building's got my hands all over it. If we were sitting here right now, you would look up and you would see tongue and groove all the way. It's A-frame. So it's pitched, tongue and groove, all the way back and in the choir section, all of it. You're looking at the man who put up that tongue and groove. And worse, you're looking at the man who did all the spraying of the polyurethane on that tongue and groove. Now, you want to talk about a nasty job. Up on the scaffold, the men have better sense. They're down with the scaffold rolling me around. They don't want anything to do with that. I had Vaseline all over me. I had big trash bags over me trying to protect me, you know. And I had started off, Brother Joe, with goggles. And then you're spraying that polyurethane over your head, you know, like this. And where's all that other overspray? So the goggles, you know, after short order, they got to go. They ain't going to work. You're just going to have to blink a lot, right? That's the only thing you do. I mean to tell you, it was about, about 11:30 at night. And some of the men were already leaving, but there was still enough to roll the scaffolding around. And old Daddy, he stayed with us. He stayed with us. He had to get up early in the morning, get up almost every morning, 5 o'clock. But he stayed that night. I finished that job after midnight, Brother John. And this is what my dad said. He said, I tell you what, boy, when you were young, I was a little worried about you. That's what he said. He said, but I want you to know now, you're a hardworking man. And I'm proud of you. I really am. I'm proud of you. Now he gets on to me and he says, you know, you do too much. But the point is, my dad taught me to work and to win. Stay with it. When Dad coached the ball games, there is no snow cones simply because you were on a team. simply because you went and sat on a bench or even played in the game. But if you didn't win the game, he's not going to shell out his hard-earned money. He didn't make much as it was. He worked for the county during those years, and you don't make a whole lot, especially those years, you didn't make a lot with the county. The retirement program is decent, but he didn't make much with the county. So he didn't have a lot of cash to be paying for snow cones for the whole team who lost the ball game. And so it's imperative that if you're going to have a team, you have to have a coach calling people to win. Win. You don't want to lose. You want to win. There's a lot of things about our president I don't like. There's a lot of things about our president I do like. I like a president who wants to win. Who wants to win. Wants our country to win. No matter what else is out there, I mean, I like America, and I want America to win. I like being on a winning team, you know, and I want to be a participant of that winning team by being a member of our country that says, yes, let's go. And I also want to be a member of God's team, more importantly, that says, like these did to Joshua, yes, let's go. Let's go. Matter of fact, I'm out of time. Let me see if I can find this little study. Give me some glasses on, but I can actually see something here. Oh, here it is. Parade Magazine, in an article years ago, Walter Anderson had written a book called Courage is a Three-Letter Word. You ever read that? Courage is a three-letter word. His message is clear and simple. Real courage means saying yes to life. Yes. To life instead of backing down when we face adversity. Joshua already knew they had a lot to overcome. They had a swollen Jordan River before they fought anybody on the other side. Adversity. A lot of people only want the road if it's an easy road. A lot of church members only want a road if it's an easy road. I don't really want to walk a path that is for the easy folk. I don't really. Now, I'm all for making it easy for the infirmed or the sick or the babies. I have no problem. Come on, I'll carry you. I'll tote you. I have no problem for that. But I don't expect to have to carry grown men on my back. I don't expect to have to carry grown women on my back, unless I'm just giving Miss Dory a piggyback, you know, then that's fine. I expect they're going to be climbing the hill with me. I do. I really, really do. As a matter of fact, I was over there buying a pickup truck one time. We were talking about the expectation, the rule of expectation in ministry and in life, and I was sharing some of these the things, that just philosophy of ministry, philosophy of life. And the dealership manager at this car dealership, and I was buying a truck, and I wanted to see if he could come off another $1,000, and we were just kind of waiting on that deal to pan out, and we were talking about these other things. And he said, could you come back and talk to all of our salespeople and talk about some of these things? And this is right out of this. This is right out of the same material, Joshua. And I said, I'll do it. I promise you I'll do it if I get to witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll do it. I'll do it for you. I'll do it free. You don't have to pay me nothing. I'll do it for free. He said, oh, that's good. I said, however, I get to share of the gospel. He said, I can't do that. That's my ticket. That's my price. He said, I wish you'd reconsider. I said, I already have. You let me share the gospel because that's the reason I feel the way I do. I can't, how can you leave that out? It's sort of like banana pudding without the bananas. How can you have banana pudding without the bananas? The bananas are that which drives the pudding. You get it? And so I didn't do that talk, you know, for him. And he still came down $1,000 and I bought the truck. Let's stand.